Welcome to the CSUSB Advising Podcast. Join us as we bring you the latest advising updates at Cal State San Bernardino. Each episode is specifically made for you, the CSUSB students and parents. We provide you advising tips, interviews with both CSUSB campus resources and those in academic advising. Sit back and enjoy. Go Yotes!
Hi, everyone. We hope you're doing well. And my name is Star Wilds, and I am here with...
Hey, Yotes. This is Matt Markin. And we have an exciting episode 12 for you today. But before we jump into that, we wanted to go over some updates. Now, registration is fast approaching. We are in mid-March, and registration is going to be happening already next month for summer and fall. So summer registration opens up for the first group of students on April 12th. And for the fall, that begins April 26th. March 26th, towards the end of this month, is the date when your specific summer and fall registration dates will be posted. Now, some of you have also been asking about summer and specifically the Graduation Initiative Grant, also known as the GIG. So just to let you know, this is from the financial aid website. To be eligible for the Graduation Initiative Grant, you need to be able to graduate by the end of summer 2021. A maximum of 14 units to be registered for. You must file or refile your grad check for summer 2021. You must also have a minimum 2.0 GPA overall, a 2.0 GPA for your CSUSB work, and also 2.0 within your major and minor. And you also must be enrolled for spring 2021. So there is an application process, and that application will be available for you to apply starting March 22nd, and only courses necessary for graduation will qualify you for the Graduation Initiative Grant funding. And 100% goes toward tuition only. So you'll find more of that information on the financial aid website, and then you can always reach out to us as well. And Star, who do we have today for our guests?
Thank you so much for the information, Matt. We are so excited to have our friends from Auburn University who'll be sharing amazing tips and tricks for how to be successful during this time. I want to welcome our amazing friends, Meredith Powell and Jonathan Halford.
All right, Yotes, we have two special guests with us today. This is our podcast crossover episode with our podcast buddies over at Advising Two Bits, all the way from Auburn University in Alabama. We have Jonathan Halford, who is an academic advisor in the College of Liberal Arts, where he advises fine arts students and has been an academic advisor at Auburn University since 2006. He has also advised in both the College of Architecture, Design, and Construction and the Honors College. Jonathan earned a Bachelor of Science in Adult Education, a Master of Education in Administration of Higher Ed, and an education specialist in adult education, and is currently pursuing a PhD in adult education. We also have Meredith Powell, who has worked as an academic advisor in the College of Sciences and Mathematics since May 2014, and currently advises all majors in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, as well as a portion of the pre-health majors. Meredith graduated from Auburn University in 2012 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Biomedical Sciences with a pre-dental concentration. Upon the realization, though, that dentistry was not a career she wanted to commit to, her academic advisor suggested that she look into working in higher education. So Meredith then attended Clemson University and graduated in 2014 with a Master of Education in Counselor Education with an emphasis in student affairs. Jonathan and Meredith, this has been about 7 months in the making, so we're thrilled this is finally happening. Welcome to the CSUSB Advising Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. As we say around our campus, welcome in War Eagle.
And let's go ahead and let's jump right into some of the questions. So for CSUSB, we're virtual until possibly the fall semester. Many students here are worried about returning back. Can you talk about at Auburn University, is Auburn remote or back on campus? And how has Auburn calmed any anxiety for your students about returning back to campus?
Well, I think that we have, through the course of the last year, it's hard to believe we're even saying that, but Auburn has done a good job of being a little bit in front of it. And also, I know that they're trying not to make too many plans so far out that that might not be needed. So in the spring of 2020, we finished out remote. And the vast majority of our classes in the summer and fall of 2020 were remote. I think there might have been a few that they had gotten special accommodations to be able to do so in lab or things like that are a little more hands-on, but vast majority online. So when we came back for spring semester, spring of 21, it basically, we have different modalities. We still have the online synchronous and asynchronous that we were created basically starting in March of 2020 and continued on through the rest of that calendar year. But we also have a couple others that they added. We do have fully in-person, more traditional on-campus style classes. We also have hybrid courses or high-flex courses that basically students get to pick how they go in and whether it's synchronous, asynchronous, in person, or online. So that one in particular is a lot of work for the faculty members. It's from what we understand from hearing from our Big EO Center, which is kind of our resource for faculty and technology. It's kind of like teaching multiple courses at one time because of all the different options and all the different ways they have to be prepared. So, but we do have a flexible option in all those. So students who choose to come on campus, they can. Those that choose to do synchronously online, they can do that too. And that helps our students that, you know, maybe they're not feeling so well and we're trying to make sure that we are doing everything we can to stop the spread, that they're able to contribute to that and stay home when they need to and not miss anything. So I know for me, I'm teaching a career prep course this semester that is in-person flexible. So I do a Zoom cast for that every class. And then I'll have also students in class, and it's kind of a, you know, doing both at once. So it's definitely an interesting thing. And, you know, I've never taught online until now, and especially not any kind of hybrid like I'm doing, but it's definitely something that I think they've taken everything into consideration, whether it's faculty or student needs.
And I think it should be noted that at least for this spring semester, as we begin increasing our in-person on-campus classes, that our classrooms are currently fitted at 20% capacity. So students are required to wear a mask on campus, both indoors and outdoors. We have requirements that students do have to remain at least 6 feet apart within those classrooms. So we obviously have taken some precautions for those in-person classes. So we'll see how things continue to pan out.
And I will say I'm going to be very spoiled to that come fall, because I'm teaching a 30-person class in a 60-person room, and we have plenty of room. So we might be a little spoiled when it comes back to that.
That is amazing. So as advisors, what kind of tips do you have for students with study, especially during this time?
Yeah, I think one thing that I have really encouraged my students to do is to dedicate a certain amount of time per day to studying. And I think as advisors, we encourage that anyway, but it's so important right now because things do feel so uncertain and you are out of a routine. I mean, you know, with working from home for nearly a year, my commute from my bedroom to my home office is about 40 feet. Whereas, you know, driving to work, I would have to get up early and avoid school traffic for elementary school zones and things like that. And so a routine is so important, both for us as advisors, but also for our students and for them to dedicate a space. You know, if they don't feel comfortable going to the library or going to a coffee shop, if they'd normally did in the past, finding a spot in their apartment or in their residence halls that is dedicated strictly to studying so that your mindset is, you know, I'm sitting at this desk or at this table and my brain knows it's time to get to work.
And for me, I think there's a lot of things that really hasn't changed. You know, Meredith mentioned, you know, routine. I always encourage my students at orientation, and we call our orientation Camp War Eagle, just in case I slip up and say it that way. But at orientation, I encourage my students to go in and look at their schedule, find the classes that they think might be, a little bit of a stretch or a challenge for them, and start working on adding it to their weekly schedule. If they're going to go to a study group, or if they're going to go to study partners or any type of academic support, put that as part of their calendar every single week. And that way it becomes normal, and it becomes a normal part of their week. And it's not a challenge, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in to, oh gosh, I've got this test, now I've got to add on to it. You're already doing it. But one thing, and this I'll have to say is not my idea. I took this idea from my own students. I advise students that are art, theater, and music, and they spend a lot of time in those buildings. And so it's always a challenge for them to make themselves leave those buildings when they're so excited about doing the things they have a passion for. But they created accountability groups. And so many of them are taking online classes in addition to their in-person or on-campus major classes. And so they'll take online core classes and kind of have a hybrid schedule themselves. And so what they've done is they've created these accountability groups, and they all sit in the green room of the theater in a group of 5 or 10. And, you know, they're all taking different classes, but it's much more a, hey, you know, you didn't show up this week. Where were you? And so, you know, that's definitely something that they have done, and that I've taken and said, hey, they're already doing this, and it's not my idea. Students your age are doing it, and that's been such a great idea, and I've heard so many good comments about it.
Yeah, those are some great tips. And I can just think of some of our Cal State San Bernardino students, since we're pretty much all virtual right now for spring until maybe fall. We'll see. But maybe they could utilize that kind of concept of accountability, and maybe they all Zoom and just have their mics off, and then they just make sure they're studying, and then they can hold each other accountable that way too. And a lot of your tips, I think, go into this next question, but, you know, if there's anything you want to add to it with virtual, you know, we have some students that are loving this, and they feel they got into that routine. They like not having to commute to school and be on campus, and they feel that this is an easier time for them. But we also have students that virtual environment is a huge challenge for them. So, and even though we've been virtual, and most of us since last March, we still have students that are facing some of these challenges or feel that virtual challenge. Do you have any advice for those students who are continuing to face those challenges in a virtual environment?
Yeah, well, I definitely want to, you know, kind of point out to your students that it's not just them. Our students are feeling the same thing. Some students, again, they love it, you know, knock out all of your classes from the comfort of your apartment or your residence hall. And then you have the other students who are really struggling in that online environment. It's just, it's not what they're used to. It's not what they're used to doing when it comes to learning. And so for one thing, I think giving yourself grace in all of it. It's a buzzword for the past year, but we are living in unprecedented times. and so just to give yourself grace in the fact that it is different, it's not what you're used to. Take it in stride, but utilize the resources that you have. Every campus provides resources. There are tutoring resources, academic support. You have your academic advisor who may not be your last stop, but is a great first stop on the road to finding the perfect resource for you. So for our students who are struggling in this virtual environment, still a year in, you've got to adapt to a point, but don't get bogged down in the fact that, you know, yes, it's hard. A lot of students are struggling with it, but give yourself grace that this is not what you've grown up doing. It's new still a year in, and that, you know, you've got to keep pressing on, because if you want to be academically successful, you've got to press forward.
So one thing that I've talked to students about, and with my students, they're used to being very social. They're in classes, they're in cohorts, and they're used to seeing the same people all the time. And so that was one thing that my students seem to be struggling with, is the connection outside of class and the hands-on that they usually get in class. And so, for example, my theater students, for the first time, they ended up basically making a movie and doing things virtually. And so we were talking about it with students, and I said, you know, use this opportunity, see this opportunity as what it is. It's a chance for you to learn something in a different way that you would have not gotten any other way. And you got to see the silver lining in it all. But to make those connections, you've got to think creatively to come to create a solution. And so whether that means a Zoom happy hour or a socially distanced picnic at lunch or what have you, those things are still important. You still got to have the human connection. And, you know, we've done that in our personal lives, and we've encouraged that. And, you know, from what I've heard from students, that's, and my students are closer now than they were in the spring and fall of last year. But, especially at those points in time, I heard from several of them that said, you know, having a Zoom happy hour once a week, or, and just a drop in, just, hey, come by, see how you're doing. And check on you, have a few laughs and move on. But I think those things for mental health, especially just that check in to say, how are you doing and what do you need help with? Or, you know, do you just need to chat, are very, very important.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for mentioning that. Yeah, it's very important that human connection and interaction is important. And I know Matt and I have experienced students just having a hard time with, you know, this transition and continuing on with their virtual environment. So very important that we check up on each other. So Yodis, if you're hearing this, we hope you guys are well, and please reach out. You don't have to wait till we reach out to you. Please reach out if you have any questions. So we want to know a little bit more about, you know, hosting the Advising Two Bits podcast. Can you tell us about a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this has been a project that Jonathan and I have had kind of in our minds for probably about a year and a half at this point. And we've finally gotten it off the ground, and we have some episodes that are published. But, you know, Jonathan came to me probably about a year and a half ago and said, hey, what do you think about a podcast? You know, a podcast for our students that we can put out information that's relevant, whether it's in concurrence with the academic calendar or just general topics that students could listen to, and that it certainly wouldn't replace their advising session with their academic advisor, but it would enhance it. So maybe you come into the advising session with a little bit more knowledge and maybe more questions, more in-depth questions. And I was like, yes, that's awesome. Let's do this thing. It kind of fell by the wayside, and then 2020 hit, and we know what happened with 2020. And so we had started thinking about, you know, let's get this off the ground in the summer of 2020. And then we went fully virtual for our Camp War Eagle, our freshman orientation sessions for the summer. And so we had to put it on the back burner, but finally we're able to get things going. And, we started recording episodes, in late November of 2020. And then funny enough, the reason for that was I had double jaw surgery December 2nd. So I think we recorded three or four episodes like right before my jaw surgery. So not knowing how long I would kind of be out of commission, but that way we could go ahead and get things rolling and get things published. And it's been really cool to see. I use Spotify, and so I followed our podcast, and to get the notification when our episode publishes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's us. Like, that's us on Spotify. but Jonathan has really been, this has really been his brainchild. I feel like I am, I'm his wing woman to the podcast, but this has really been Jonathan's idea from the start. And he has done an awesome job in guiding, you know, podcast episode ideas and getting things set up, whether it's setting Zoom meetings with our guests and getting things put together. So Jonathan, I'll let you build off of that. This is your baby.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I know me, and I couldn't do it without with Meredith or Brandon, our producer. So when I thought about this and when this all kind of came to mind, it, I had a lot of reasons for doing it. And in the end, I could sit there and talk for a while about why and the benefits and everything. But I think I break it down to my goal for this podcast is to reduce how many times I hear a student say, well, I didn't know that, or I didn't know about that, or I had not heard that. And so anything that, and what I found is that there's so many things to talk about in an advising session, whether those sessions are 15 minutes or 30 minutes or however long you put it out there for. We could sit there for 2 hours with a student and still not want to say everything we want to say. And one thing that we try to do is get away from the canned presentation. And so I'm sure that many of our guests hate the way that we do it. Those that might not be accustomed to it, because we do not send out a script. We do not send out questions that we want to ask. It is, we give them the general topic idea of we would like to talk about this, and then we have a conversation. And so I think the three of us, because while Meredith and I are the ones talking, Brandon is also there on chat, sending us question ideas and things like that to ask. And so, you know, we're thinking not only as an advisor, but we're trying to think as a student. And thankfully, I have a partner in crime that's much, much younger than I am, that can think more like a student than me. But, you know, we have a supportive group that have helped us do this. And so it's just been a really fun project. I actually use this, the story of how we started this podcast, for my career prep students, because one of the things they have to do is cold reach out to somebody to build their network. And I use this example because Matt and I had not met ever. And out of all the things that we've done at Nakata, we've not met. And I just reached out to him, sent him a message and say, hey, I see you're doing this podcast. We're trying to start one. Would you help me? And he was gracious enough to do that. And so without that advice and without that input and without that just openness to have conversations over and over and over, and to remind me, we already talked about this. We wouldn't have gotten it off the ground. So thank you to you too, because and that's kind of a testament to that, just the willingness to take that chance and ask, because more times than not, if somebody has a passion for something, whether it be a project like podcasting, or if it's the career they're in or something like that, they want to talk about it. They want to talk about how they got there and the mistakes they made. And that if they had to do it all over again, what would they do differently? And so I use this story with my class to talk about what they can do and, you know, what those conversations can look like, and it can really be very beneficial. And it really helps them think, okay, I can just cold reach out to somebody that I've never met, never talked to, and ask them for opinions. And more than likely, they're going to respond. And even if they don't, many times they're going to say, well, I don't have time for this right now, but let me get you and give you a name of somebody else to contact. So,
yeah, well, I think this just kind of shows the power of technology and power of social media and, right, you know, and making that move to reach out. And you may not get an answer back, or maybe you do in this case. Yeah, I mean, and we built a friendship on this too, which is nice. And I think it's also just, you know, just who knew that something like a podcast, like this, is another avenue to reach out to, in this case, the students, have that information and have them be able to hear from people, know that they are humans and you can have these conversations and learn from it. Again, doesn't replace the advising session, but it's like a supplement to a lot of the information that's given out to students. So great job with your podcast. And I've checked out the financial aid one that you had on. I think that might have been one of the first two episodes, and I'm looking forward to catching up on the rest of them. But I do have a specific questions, one for each of you. And it's kind of based off of your bios. And I think this can help relate to our students as well. So Meredith, I'll start with you. So when you were a student, you finished your degree in biomedical sciences with the pre-dental concentration, but ultimately didn't pursue the career in dentistry. So at what point did you realize that you didn't want to pursue that career? And do you remember how that conversation went with your advisor?
I do, vividly. So timeline-wise, about by the end of my junior year, I began thinking, God, these science classes are really hard. And if I'm going to go do dental school, that's 4 more years. And if I'm going to specialize, that can be anywhere from another 2 to 6 years. And I don't like the classes I'm in now. Am I really going to like the science behind dentistry later? And I really had to start thinking, nope, I don't think this is for me, which was a hard pill to swallow because, I mean, not kidding. From the age of six, I wanted to go to dental school and then go to orthodontics and specialize in that. And to be a late junior in college and to then have that realization that the dream that you've had since age six is not really lining up with your passions anymore, that was hard. That was really hard. I remember probably about middle of fall of my senior year. So to give a little backstory, I was a peer advisor in the College of Sciences and Mathematics, which is also funny enough, the college that I work for now as an advisor. But as a student, I was a peer advisor. And so I really enjoyed helping other students, you know, with classes and things like that. I was involved in other organizations on campus and just loved the college experience, not just for myself, but for my peers. One time my advisor just looked at me. I was sitting across from her at her desk, and she said, "You know, this is a career, right? Like, this is a job that you could do for the rest of your life, and you're good at it now. Imagine what you could do once you dive in on student development theory and you get your master's and you come back and you're an advisor." And it kind of took me aback because I was like, gosh, I feel really dumb for never even thinking that that this job that she's in a role that she's serving me in and guiding me in, is a job that is a career. So I kind of felt dumb at that point. But I really started thinking about it and then looking into programs for my master's that would support me in following, you know, the higher ed profession. And so that's kind of how I ended up here. Nobody grows up thinking they're going to be an academic advisor. But I could not be more thankful for that conversation because I am exactly where I should be. I tell students all the time, you know, the diploma hanging behind me in my office is the same diploma that you're chasing after. But I can relate to them in a certain way because I'm the only advisor in my office that has a degree from our college. So I get it. I know how hard those upper division science classes are. But at that point, I mean, you know, once I made that realization, it was too, in my mind, it was too late to switch my major. I probably could have. Part of that was my parents said 4 years and done, and then we're not paying for anything. So that was a big driving factor. The other part was I was just so close to graduating that there wasn't any sense in changing. So I pressed forward in classes that I did not exactly enjoy, but just knew that the end goal was to get to my master's program and then to be an advisor. And I'm so glad I landed where I did.
Yeah. And I think that's a great story and something that can connect the students, especially because they might be going through the same thing where their interests change, or, you know, maybe they were in a major that maybe they were kind of pushed to go towards. You know, it's all about exploring and testing things out.
It is.
So Jonathan, question for you is, you know, sometimes we hear from students and parents even, or just society in general, about what majors are the best to have. And sometimes fine arts majors are not high on that list that people have in their head. Is there anything you could say about that viewpoint regarding majors and majoring in fine arts?
Yeah. So when I was an undergrad, I kind of did the exact opposite that Meredith did. I realized very quickly that medical school wasn't for me. And part of that was the level of fun that I had my freshman year. Part of it was just the realization that that I didn't have a passion for it. I like the things that they talk about, that they show on television, and I like the things that everybody tells stories about. I didn't necessarily like the things that aren't talked about, the day-to-day things and things like that. So I and I tell my students all the time, I'm a really good advisor for art, theater, and music. I'm a really bad artist, musician, and thespian. So I can't draw a stick figure with a ruler, and I was in the marching band, and so I can't actually play an instrument. But past that, you know, I don't know music theory and things like that. And literally the only skit or anything that I've done as an adult. I was a Camp War Eagle counselor, and we had to do skits as a counselor. And I was in the serious one where they talk about, you know, challenges you face and in undergrad. And I was the student that made the poor decision to drink and drive, underage drink and drive, and they killed me off in the first scene. So I have no idea what, I mean, everything they do is brilliant to me. So, but I also understand that there's a level of passion that has to come for whatever you do. And so with those areas, you get people that are very, very passionate about art, theater, music, and the arts and things like that. I had a conversation with a student the other day exactly about this thing, and they were kind of in this moment of, do I finish what I've started, or do I cut and go to something else? And I said, okay, but what are you going to go to, and how is that going to better get you there than this degree? And so what I figured out and over time is that the arts don't prepare you to be an artist. They do, but that's not the only thing they prepare you for. They prepare you for so many other things, whether it, you know, it's to think creatively. These are all soft skills that companies are looking for. Some of their top 10 wants are soft skills that people need to develop. There's not a course in problem solving. You problem solve by learning and doing in different courses, and you learn from it and you do it a little differently the next time. So what I tell students is that if you have a passion for one of these areas, whether no matter what it is, pursue it, because now is the time that you can. And, you know, if you can't always just go back and learn music, you can, but you can't learn to the point where you can be a professional musician without a lot of sacrifice. And so take that opportunity and then learn from it, and really reflect on what you've learned, not just the art or the theater topics. Think about and reflect on the groupthink, the you know, the problem solving, the creative avenues that you have, and what that opens up for you. And what I find is that because it is so creative, because they have had to problem solve and figure something out at the last minute, they are those are invaluable skills no matter what you go into. And if you have an art degree or a degree in the arts, then you can go and apply for a job anywhere. And what you bring to the table, nobody else is going to have unless they have an art degree, because you've had to figure out, how am I going to sew this costume that ripped in the middle of a scene and get them right back out there and make the audience think nothing happened? How am I going to fix this particular instrument that broke in the middle of a concert? Or how am I going to fix an art piece that I've spent months on, that I messed up something? What, you know? And so it's really a great opportunity for those that have a passion to get a degree in that passion and grow those skills that are associated with that major, but also build skills that are useful no matter what your career is. And so I told a student the other day, I said, what people don't realize, and the arts do get a bad rap. And you have education systems across the country who every single year they talk about cutting the arts. But for my entire life, they have studied, and I can't cite a source, I apologize, but that they have done studies about the arts, and the art people that are in the arts routinely do better in STEM. And so I'm not really sure why we're talking about STEM and not STEAM, because they all go hand in hand. And so, but with the arts don't benefit just that person. They benefit every single person that come in contact with it. And when that's every one of us, if you think about your favorite movie, go watch it see if you can find a clip where you watch it without music and it changes the whole thing. So it's really, the arts are completely invaluable to our society. And so get in them and enjoy them and learn not just the arts, but learn about what else you're learning, because those things will transition you to whatever job you want.
That's amazing. And thank you both for sharing your stories, background of, you know, choosing the major. I know as an undeclared advisor and coordinator for advising, it's really hard when students say, hey, what's the perfect major? right? And what I've got from you both is do what you're passionate about, find it, talk to people, talk to your advisors, go there, talk to a career advisor. I know we, Yodis, we have career advisors here, but very encouraging. And thank you so much, Jonathan and Meredith, for sharing that. So I know you guys provided words of encouragement within, you know, your field of study, but may I ask if you could provide words of encouragement for students who at this point, you know, we're the published episode will be halfway through the term and need that extra bit of motivation to finish strong. What would you suggest for them? What words of encouragement would you provide?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, if you want the A, you've got to work hard for the A. And it may not end up being an A at the end, but if you put all of your effort and your time into doing your absolute best, no one can ask any more of you than doing your absolute best and doing it well. You know, doing your best doesn't mean studying for 30 minutes and then hanging out with your friends. That's not doing it well, and doing your best. But, you know, setting aside a certain amount of time each day to really dive in on the material. And, you know, again, back to giving yourself grace. We are living, the past year has been crazy. we've lived in a lot of different things that no one ever expected. And with that has been learning to adapt. And if you haven't learned to adapt yet, now's a good time. But finding a good groove in just really trying your best to work towards the end of the semester with a goal in mind, and having that goal in mind will help you try to achieve it as best you can.
And back that up a little bit. And all those things are incredibly important. And it's one of those things that, you know, you probably hear from a lot of places, and so I'll add to it a little bit of a twist. You do have to do those other things. You do have to be social. You do. I mean, one of the things that if you were to go out and Google Auburn University Creed, you'll and you read through the Creed. One of the things, one of the lines of the Creed is, "I believe in the human touch," and I think I've already talked about it once. But you know, being social is part of it, and do as I say, not as I did, and have the right amount of fun and not too much. But, you know, sometimes you've got to take a break. You eventually get to a point where you can't learn anymore sitting in that setting, and you just need to stop, and you need to, you know, take a break, do a hobby. That's one of those things that I tell students all the time is find a hobby. Hobbies will last mm-hmm. you longer than undergrad. Whether it's you go out and discover a new sport, or you go out and one thing that I did when I was an undergrad was do all sorts of different odd jobs. And it just got me out of the same building that I was in all the time. And ironically, it paved the way for me to do things like I've done with Nakata, where I've chaired different conferences, because there were a lot of things that I did that were involved in that. So getting those experiences can really help you to manage that. I have a lot of double majors in where I am. And the reason they're doing a double major in engineering and music, which most people wouldn't put those two together, they're doing that to get their mind out of engineering and into something else. And it's forcing them to do that. So just exercising those other parts of the brain and being social. The other thing is, I understand that y'all just moved to semesters from quarters. And Auburn's been on semesters for coming in on 21 years now. And so we switched over in the fall of 2000. And so that was ironically my first semester as a freshman at Auburn. And I had friends that were on quarters, and the first thing they said was, "Oh my God, semesters are so much longer than quarters. And, you know, how are we going to do it?" And so I never had the experience of having to transition, but you know, what they all told me is that, you know, the pace slows down a little bit. You get a little more free time to do these different things. And their saving grace was the fact that they found other things to do, whether it's, you know, taking a weekend to go to the beach. For us, it's about a 4-hour drive to the beach. So, you know, they would go for the weekend, or, you know, taking a vacation with your friends in kind of a mini spring break, if you will. You know, things like that are also important, and it just breaks it up, and we all need a break from whatever it is. And it's managing that time to put those opportunities in there so that you're not taking away from the academics and what you're doing, what you're there to do. And you'll find that if you get that nice balance of the two will benefit one another.
Yeah. I think time management is really the root of it all. And kind of back to what I was saying, you know, study for 30 minutes and then go hang out with your friends. That friends piece is so important, like Jonathan said, but studying for 30 minutes isn't going to get the material in your head the way that it needs to be. And so time management really is the root of all of it. And at Auburn, we have academic coaches who can help keep you on track and just kind of keep tabs on you. But ultimately, I mean, I think trying your best and finding that balance of time management between the fun and the not so fun part of studying, but just getting to where you find that good groove and you figure it all out. But ultimately, no one should care more about your degree than you as a student. And so as a student, you're responsible for figuring all that out, which can be hard.
And I think that's one good point to make, because it is your degree, it's your education, and it's a hard conversation to go piggybacking on other things that we've talked about. It's a hard conversation to go and talk to mom and dad about, this isn't what I want to do. And I know Meredith and I both have had that conversation at very different times, but and this is a shameless plug to go listen to our podcast. But if you go and listen to the competitive majors, I think it's part one, that's a two part mini series. We talk about with a colleague of ours in nursing about what happens if you don't make that hard decision. And all of a sudden you're in a career that you shouldn't have been in. And what change that does in your life. So, I mean, those things and being real honest in all those areas can really help you in that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. And great advice for that can, I think, benefit all students. So I really appreciate you giving that advice and spending the time on this podcast with us. But we have reached time. But I wanted to thank you both, Meredith and Jonathan, for being here and making this happen. And I look forward, and Star and I look forward to having our students listen to this podcast episode and learn from all of you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. This has been really fun. Thank you.
And if anyone does want to check out your podcast, how can they find you?
Well, you can search for Advising Two-Bits. That's the number 2 and then BITS, Advising Two-Bits. We're on Spotify, Pandora, Jonathan, help me out here, iHeartRadio.
Apple Podcasts.
I feel like I'm missing one. I think we've got five outlets. Either way, look for Advising Two-Bits. Thank y'all.
And thank you so much to our amazing friends from Auburn University, Meredith and Jonathan. Great information. We want to make sure that you keep up to date with everything that's happening, especially as Advising Week is coming up. Make sure you check your emails, as I know there has been information from the President's Office about that CARES Act financial distribution. But please catch us on our social media outlet platforms at CSUSB Advising. Thank you so much for joining, and thank you so much for listening.